He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
But Jesus now changes that. He says, you go boldly in and you say, Father, Father, hear my cry. And I thought just a few weeks ago, is there a place where God will actually meet with me? Is there a place where God will say, I'm here, son. Cry out to me for your marriage. Cry out to me for your children. Cry out to me for your nation. And I hear the voice of my crying children. And like a physical father runs to that and begins to build and rebuild and shape and restore. Is there a place that God meets with us? And we are to be shut out with man and shut in with Christ.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is a special message from Pastor Shane spoken at Godspeak Calvary Chapel in Thousand Oaks, California, titled, Please Act Like Men. Reformed preacher Jonathan Edwards once said on the condition of man, a truly humble man is sensible of his natural distance from God, of his dependence on him, of the insufficiency of his own power and wisdom, and that it is by God's power that he is upheld and provided for, and that he needs God's wisdom to lead and guide him, and his might to enable him to do what he ought to do for him. A true and faithful Christian does not make holy living an accidental thing. It is his great concern. As the business of the soldier is to the fight, so the business of the Christian is to be like Christ. Please join us today for this powerful exhortation from Pastor Shane, specifically targeting the man of God to humble himself, completely surrender to God, and boldly live for Jesus Christ. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
It's grace that's brought me here thus far. It'll be grace that takes me home. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. And once you receive the fullness of the Spirit and you're excited about God's Word and you see lives radically change and you see that we can make a difference, you get excited, you get passionate, you call others to that area of surrender. Doesn't all this have to do with surrender? Surrender to the one true and living God. I don't care who sees my posts on social media. I don't care if people see me praising God at work. I don't care if they see this guy up at the altar raising holy hands and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I bow my knee to you this morning. I surrender everything to you. I'm not going to try to live on either side of the fence. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Come hell or high water, I will surrender my life. And God honors that. Again, I didn't come to be your friend. I came to help restore and revive and to break. What I've noticed about, you know, when I travel and I speak, I was actually just in Dallas a month ago or so, and then a different part of Texas, but these kind of messages, I've been doing this so long, I know, you'll get two responses. Brother, thank God, I need to hear that with weeping and tears and marriages restored. Or the other guys, who is that guy? They just head for the door, I'm out of here. Many of you know there's a big conference center up by Sequoias on the other side. I don't want to say the name. But I spoke my heart out like this at a men's conference. And they said, we have to take you off the list. It's too heavy. And I want to say, that's the problem, sir. That's the problem. We want to coddle and not confront. We want to be encouraged but never repent. Please, tickle my ears, don't challenge my heart. Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure, they will not put up with sound doctrine, but they will look for teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. I'm always amazed. I'll meet somebody who doesn't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. They say, but I really like that person on TV. No conviction. No challenging, encouraging. And we have to get back to that. The word of, is it not convicting? Can you please demonstrate a prophet in the Old Testament who wasn't convicting? Do you know the whole role of the prophetic voice? Do you know why God raised up prophets? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi. Why did he raise up those voices? To soothe and to comfort? He said, I'm going to raise, Isaiah, Jeremiah, I called you before you were even born. I called you in your mother's womb to be a voice to my nation, to pluck out and to pull down, to root out. Isaiah, call the nation back. There's a yearning, there's a desire, there's challenging the people, because my default is not to challenge you. My default is like, okay, how can I get these guys worked up? I used to be a motivational speaker. This should be easy. Everybody will like me. But how many people will leave unchanged and unchallenged? Something that today still, when it really struck me 15 years ago, I put down my Bible and almost wept. Did you know, we hear the term false prophet a lot, correct? Did you know what the number one characteristic of a false prophet was in the Old Testament? To say, God says this, and God says, I didn't say that. Jeremiah 23, I have not called these prophets, but they ran. I have not spoken to them, but they spoke. Yet had they truly stood in my counsel of my word, they would have turned this entire nation back to me. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Is not my word like a fire that devours? But they have perverted the words of the living God. How? By not warning and instructing and challenging. How is that? That's a prophetic, and you have many prophetic, false prophetic voices today. Oh no, God just, it's all about love. He doesn't care about a lot of these issues. Man, just go and leave here. You can be openly engaging in sin and involved in churches, and they don't even care anymore. It's more of a social club. That's why the power of God is not there. The power of God rests upon a church that is broken and humble before Him. That's where true change takes place. You can still know the Bible, but lack God's presence. Pride, man, don't you see pride is destroying us? For every Mike Tyson, there's a Buster Douglas. Dating myself, but anybody remember that fight? Odds were like 42-1, no problem. And boy, though, that got shifted. The story about Muhammad Ali on an airplane, didn't wear a seatbelt. Stewardess comes by, Mr. Ali, would you please put your seatbelt on? Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said, Superman don't need no airplane. Pride is deadly. Pride is damning. God will not be mocked. Whatever man sows, he will reap. And I was reminded too, just as I was speaking on Jeremiah 23, the end of 2 Chronicles, right before Israel, or actually in Israel's final destruction, God said, I sent my messengers to them. Rising them up early and sending them to my people. Why? Because I had compassion on my people and on my dwelling place. But they mocked my messengers, they despised my word, and they scoffed at the prophets until the anger of the Lord arose against his own people. And what do? When God says you want it, you got it. You know what really doesn't impress me right now is full churches. Praise God for that. We grew like this church grew and other churches grew. What impresses me is men broken and humble on the altar, crying out to God, leading the prayer meetings, leading in this area of spiritual health. It's difficult. It's challenging. I know. 2 Kings, I'll be ending up here shortly. 2 Kings, Josiah. Many of you know the story. I believe it was Manasseh, wicked, wicked Manasseh. God says, because of Manasseh, I'm going to judge Israel. And then here comes Manasseh's son, more wickedness. And then for some reason, Josiah is born. And what they did is they found the word of God in the temple. And they came and they brought the word of God to Josiah. And he actually, when he read, I mean, that, shouldn't that just with the Roe v. Wade or the LGBTQ agenda or transgenderism or the perversion or the porn that is so perverted, shouldn't that cause us to not physically tear our clothing, but spiritually break us like Josiah? And he, when he read the word of God, when he said, woe be to those who call evil and evil good. Woe be to that nation who discards innocent life. Woe be to those people who lay their children on the searing arms of Molech. Woe be to that nation. Josiah cried out. He says he tore his clothes and he cried out to God. And God says, because your heart was tender. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord. And you tore your clothes and you wept before me, I have heard your prayer. And God actually stayed his hand of judgment on the nation. There's God's sovereign will. There's his perfect will, permissive will. I let the theologians debate that. All I know is that you can intercede on behalf of a nation, on behalf of your family, on behalf of a family member, a friend. You can intercede. And somehow within the sovereign plan of God, he might give us a measure of revival in our bondage. What about in Ezekiel's day? The prophets were corrupt. The priests were corrupt. The politicians were corrupt. And God said, but I looked from among them. I sought for a man from among them who would build a wall and stand in the gap before me that I might not destroy the land. But I found no one. Now, is that just, God just decided to put that in there for a reason? I mean, for no reason at all? What does it mean to stand in the gap and to be an intercessor? I mean, in my opinion, God's been it's a continual transforming process for me. But it's hard to say, Lord, I want to serve you. I fully surrender my life. Even though I don't like, you know, what people think of me, I want to crush that. I'll be the first one to this altar. Man, I tell people at our church, I'm the first one at this altar. I need Christ as much on this side of the cross as I do on that side of the cross. Lord, I want to repent of my sin. I want to pray and fast and seek the heart of God. I want to get serious about spiritual matters. I don't care who is watching or who is listening. I'm going to stand up for King Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you please fill me and change me from the inside out? Standing in the gap. It's been said that cowards die many times before their deaths. And so the verse, one of the passages, or one of the words there is be brave. Be brave. What is brave? It's inner confidence. Inner confidence and strength and it's fortitude. And then it goes on, be strong. What, isn't that the same? No, being brave is inner confidence. Strong is the outward reflection on that. So many people are pretty confident inside. But you won't see them do much on the outside. When was the last time some of you were, especially if you're retired, you have more time at a school board meeting, challenging the outright lunacy of some of these school districts? Or writing, you know, you can write editorials in your paper and saying, no, this is not right. See, we've been oppressed so long. And not wanting to speak the truth in love because it might offend. Let me just drop a bombshell right now. The truth will offend. Get over it. The truth of God will offend. It cuts like a knife. It hits like a hammer. It devours like a fire. But here's the key. The truth offends, but my attitude shouldn't. See the difference? There's a love for the person you're talking to. And being strong, this definition is spiritually strong, not physically strong. It's humility over haughtiness, it's wisdom over wealth, and it's a worshiper before a worker. Oh, if I could just get my usher team, 40-some ushers and 30 ushers, that many of them are not at the altar, they're not leading the way, or the different men, that they want to be workers. They want to be workers, but God wants a worshiper first. I want to see my kids see me as a worshiper, worshiping God, on fire for God. And then out of that outflow, you become a worker. But we see so many times, we want to do things, we want to work. And I see it all the time. So how many people, we ask, oh yeah, I'll usher, I'll do something, I'll do the work, but I don't want to be in the worship service. That's a disconnect there. So, in closing, I'm going to go back to this verse from Jesus. Watch with humility. Watch with humility and pray fervently. Matthew 6:6, many of you know it in the Amplified Version. When you pray, this is why I love talking about prayer. I write on prayer. My prayer life is nowhere where I'd like it to be, and that's a good thing, men. Be discouraged. I want more because it drives you deeper. If I ever say, you know what, my prayer life is great, I'm good. We've got a problem on our hands. There should be a drawing. There should be I want more of God and more of God. There's a hunger. This hunger will never be satisfied. This hunger for God is never satisfied. But if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. But Jesus tells us here, he says, when you pray, go into your most private room and shut your door and God will meet you there openly. I mean, is it possible? Listen, in the Old Testament, they would call him El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh. But Jesus now changes that. He says, you go boldly in and you say, Father, Father, hear my cry. And I thought just a few weeks ago, is there a place where God will actually meet with me? Is there a place where God will say, I'm here, son. Cry out to me for your marriage. Cry out to me for your children. Cry out to me for your nation. And I hear the voice of my crying children. And like a physical father runs to that and begins to build and rebuild and shape and restore. Is there a place that God meets with us? Yes, shut the door. And we are to be shut out with man and shut in with Christ. It's interesting, the disciples didn't say, teach us form. Teach us form. I think we have enough form. A form of godliness. A form of Christianity. A form of prayer. Teach us to pray. We want to feel the power of the Spirit. And I said, I'm talking tomorrow about the power of the praying mom, but I would love to talk sometime about the power of the praying dad. Guys, the reason our families are in chaos and the nation is out of control, men have largely forsaken their God-given role as spiritual leaders in the home. If that hurts, good. Because when something hurts, we go home and we think about it. I've talked to enough men to know that they don't like what I say, usually because they need to hear what I say. If you don't like what I'm saying, it's probably because you need to hear what I'm saying. All of it's thoroughly biblical. Examine it yourself. And there's a cry I want. There's a desperation. Men, you've got to be desperate. You can't just, it's not just lukewarm, normal Christianity. This is a call of desperation when the woman just reached out and touched the hem of his garment. When the prophets would rip their clothes and cry out, oh God, rend the heavens. There's a desperate call, and our call today should be, God, fill me or kill me. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I want all of Christ. I won't get to perfection on this side of heaven, but I want to be filled mightily with the Holy Spirit. I want to be gentle to my children, gentle to my spouse. I want that power of the Holy Spirit resting upon my life. And it's been said, a man cannot lead others where he himself is not willing to go. And of course, I want to mention this. A true man has a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. William Grinnell, famous Puritan, he said, he who will not take God before he dies, the devil will take him soon after he dies. And always a group this size, I don't know where everyone's at spiritually. I grew up in the church. Anyone been there? Owned a Bible. Went to Christian school. I live in America. Isn't that Christian America? Religion, not relationship. Going through the motions, but not having a relationship. No passion for God, no passion for the thing. I hated the Bible, but I loved my drugs. I hated worship music. Oh my goodness, I'd make fun of you guys. What is this? But I could get drunk and listen to AC/DC and drive 100 miles an hour on the freeway. That's cool. That's manly. Give me a break. We're dying inside spiritually. You need a clear direction of what a real man is. So you need to ask that question this morning, some of you. Am I truly heaven bound? Am I truly heaven bound? Because heaven born is heaven bound. And it's very simple. The simple gospel, so simple that even a child knows it. If you humble yourself, isn't that interesting? Humility is vitally important. Humble yourself and say, God, I need you. I repent of my sin. I repent. I need the cross. I need the cross of redemption. I can't save myself. I'm not good enough. Lord, would you please save me? And I can tell you, God is my witness. It was so profound in my life. I don't know if I was actually not saved or just filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, Christians, have struggled with that over the years because I was dead. Now I'm alive. Now the Word of God comes alive. And there's a passion. There's a desire. And I just feel for those people who go through the motions. And we do think going to church, hey, I'm good with God. We're not good with God unless we have that vital relationship. So the call this morning, I'm going to have the worship leader come on up and just, I think we're going to close with the song or so. But I want to give the opportunity. And like I told you before, I'll lead the way if we have to. I want to give you the opportunity to just come forward. You can kneel, you can stand. There's nothing magical about that. But what it is, to me, it's a step of humility. It's saying, Lord, I do need you. I don't care who's here. I don't care what people think. I'm going to come to this altar, and I'm going to acknowledge you. Maybe for the first time, but also, anybody need more of God? Anybody need to be filled with the Spirit of God and repent of besetting sin and arrogance? And that's what that step for. It's a step of humility, saying, Lord, I do need more of you. What is it? 100-mile journey begins with the first step. And so if God is kind of working in your heart and you need to take that step of humility, we're just gonna camp out here for a song and just maybe bring your petition to God. Are you struggling with your marriage? Maybe you're older, your kids are gone, and you're distant to God. You have no purpose, no passion anymore. How can we sit in the church of the living God and not be passionate? It's a living God, a vibrant God, above all other gods. There's no other gods but King Jesus. There should be an excitement and a joy that comes from our hearts. His word is like a fire burning in my heart. And I know it's just a step in the right direction. And pastoring, that's one thing that breaks my heart is so many people, and you know, I mean, they're broken. Marriages are being destroyed. Kids are being perverted. Addictions are taking people down. And I'm always offering, I can't do it for them, but I'm always offering, listen, drink of this cup and you will never thirst again. Drink of this living water of Christ and you will never thirst again. I've got the answer. His name is Christ, and you fully surrender your life. Would you come and drink freely from the fountain of living water. Living water is just steps away. Just, I can almost feel it. I can feel it, but there's pride. Pride, I don't need that. And pride prevents a mighty filling of God's Spirit.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.